Make sure you've got your colouring of the creation days to hand and your bingo words. As Matt said, we're starting a new series called Foundations, thinking about, we're going to be looking at the first four chapters of the book of Genesis. We're going to be doing that over the next few weeks, and today's is the first one, thinking about just those first three verses of Genesis chapter 1. We'll read it together in a minute. But I want you, shout out, things that belong to you. What kind of things belong to you? Adult or child? Clothes. Car. Wow, we all live in... Church. Interesting. It does. It belongs to us. Well, it belongs to Jesus, but he belongs to us as well. Yeah. Phone. Does anyone have a house? Well, it belongs to the bank, doesn't it? Sorry, that's technically, fair enough. You got me. Lots of things belong to us, and lots of things are precious to us. So if you remember, if you're here on Christmas Day morning, when the children came up and showed their presents, those were things that belonged to them. This week, Evie made me a loom band bracelet, which is very, very, very precious to me. And I will now wear it for as long as it stays there. Well, the world, the universe, everything belongs to God. Listen to these words. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Everything that you have, and everything that belongs to you, and everything that you can see, touch, smell, and even the things that you can't see, touch, and smell, belongs to God. It's His. He made it. Everything that you love, everything, as I said, that you can see and touch and smell, all the billions of things that you can't see or touch or smell, that are so tiny or they're so small that you can't see them, or that because they're billions and billions and billions of light years away, you just can't see them. The Bible says God created them. They are His. He is the creator. They exist, and you exist because He wants you to. Now, this is a really, really important foundation, something really important that we need to know if we're going to live in God's world the way that He wants us to, that everything, excuse me, belongs to Him. You and me belong to Him because He made us. He created us. And so we need Him for everything. And everything that exists needs Him. So we're completely dependent on God for everything. Every breath. Every heartbeat. Every piece of food. Every penny in your piggy bank or in your real bank. All the friendships that you enjoy. Every brain cell in your head that enables you to do the things that you love doing, He made and He sustains. He even made the taste of your favorite food. He even made the beauty of a setting sun that makes you happy when you look at it. He made it possible for people to have great skill and great creativity so that the favorite stories that you tell one another, or the favorite films that you watch, or the best music that you listen to, you enjoy because, well, he wants you to enjoy it. And he wants it to be beautiful. The smile on your toddler's face, the warmth of a loved one's hands, the friendship that you enjoy and that enjoy and that refreshes you, that maybe you've enjoyed over Christmas, all belongs to him, and he has given it to us because he wanted to. And everything keeps going and keeps happening, and we keep enjoying things because he keeps sustaining it. See, these opening words of the Bible, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," don't just tell us that God made the world and set it up and then left us to it. No, and here's the point, if you're writing the points down. Everything is God's creation, and everything is dependent on him. Everything is his, and everything is dependent on him. Now, the next question we need an answer to is why? Well, we're going to do a craft first. I'm going to hand over to Sam. And there's some more bingo words for Junior Church for you to listen out for and claim the marvellous prize. So we saw in the first section that God made everything, which means that everything is his and everything is dependent on him. Excuse me. But why? Well, let's read the second bigger section of our verse. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. Excuse me. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. So just in the first few words of those three verses, we're told that God made everything, right the way back and all the way out to the farthest reaches of our galaxy. But now Moses, who wrote the book of Genesis, slows down and we're told something very specific about the earth. That the earth is formless and empty, and darkness is over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God is hovering over the waters. It's a slightly strange, isn't it? Why does he not just say, "God made everything, and now I'm going to tell you how he made the world," and then go into that wonderful poem that very gratefully we are, David Suchet read for us. That was kind of him, wasn't it? Why those strange words? Why slow everything down to tell us about what the earth being formless and empty? Why tell us that everything is emptiness and darkness, and that there's no order? Well, the reason is, and actually we get to continue to have a little bit more fun, because in the very first language that the Bible was written, in the book of Hebrew, those words, formless and empty, sound quite funny. Now, I can't pronounce them in Hebrew. I just pronounce them like this. Tohu wa bohu. I need you to say it with me. Tohu wa bohu. Now, it strikes me that they're the kind of words that you have to kind of do a bit more dramatic. So if you can stand up, let's stand up together. I know it's not very beast and free to have participation, but, you know, let's stand up. And I think we need, I don't know, a little bit of, I don't know, drama or something. So, tohu wa bohu. Can you do it with me? Can you do it, Lucy? Lizzie won't, that's fine. You don't have to, Lizzie, it's fine. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Tohu wa bohu. Well, you can sit back down. But it's the kind of words that I feel like you have to learn to say out loud. And what they mean is formless and empty. And they're really interesting words, tohu wa bohu, because in the Bible, when they appear elsewhere, God uses them to describe places that are not suitable for people to live in. Whenever they're used in the Bible, that's what they mean. People can't live there. In fact, when God gets angry with a particular people who are his enemies, He makes their land tohu wa bohu, formless and empty. He makes it so that they can't live there. So when Moses is telling us that God first made the world and first made our earth and it was formless and empty, we're being told particularly that it wasn't suitable for human beings to live in. It wasn't ready for life. Except, look what happens. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Moses is kind of building the tension. The earth is not ready for human beings yet. But God's Spirit is waiting for something to happen. And then something does happen. God starts speaking. He says, "Let there be light." And there was light. And as a result, as we heard in the poem that was read to us, everything that is life begins to appear, and it ends with people being able to enjoy knowing God. In other words, you could read Genesis in a slightly different way. In the beginning, God says no to a world where people don't know him. No to darkness. No to lifelessness. No to desolateness. I want a world where people can flourish. People like you and me. Now, why would he do that? Was it because he was lonely? Was God, before everything that existed, just on his own? And he just thought, do you know what? I need someone to talk to. And so he made the world. Or was it because he was a ruler and needed someone to rule? He didn't have anyone to do what he wanted. So he thought, well, I need to make subjects to rule over. Or maybe it's because he was a slightly angry and, master and needed slaves to obey him and do his will. Is that what God's like? Well, actually, if you look at pretty much any other religion that people believe, that's how they describe what God's like. He needs people to love, he needs people to rule, and he needs slaves to obey him. But not the God of the Bible. The God who's really there. Because listen to these other words that sound a lot like the opening verses of Genesis. I'll read them to you. They won't come on the screen. These are words about Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and in him was life, and that life was the light of men. See, John's telling us that in the beginning, Jesus was with God. And John wants us to know something really, really important about the beginning of everything. And that is that God wasn't on his own. He wasn't lonely. He was with Jesus. God the Father was with his Son Jesus. And as we saw from Genesis, the Holy Spirit was there as well. So he wasn't lonely or needed someone to love. He wasn't a ruler and needed someone to rule. He's not a master that needs slaves. So why did he make the world? What was he thinking? Why did he do it? Well, the only option left is that God made the world so that people like you and me could share in his forever love. So that we could share in the love that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit have for each other. The world belongs to God, and he made it so that we might share in his forever love. Now, sometimes people sit around and they have big brains and sometimes little brains, and they think about what is the meaning of life? And it's a scary question that some people think is scary. It's too big to answer. But the Bible's really simple. Here's what the meaning of life is, whether you're 3, 4 years old or, older. Here's the meaning of life. God is love. And you are invited to join him. That's it. You see, in the beginning, God said no to tohu wa bohu, and yes to life so that people would know him. So if you're writing down the second point, here it is. It's God's world, and he made it so that you might know him. I think that's a happy message for us to remember together as a church family.